So today we are going to start the discussion on the sthayi bhavas. As you recall, Rupa Goswami first goes through a detailed explanation or really definition of basic concepts. It starts with bhakti, what is bhakti, different types of bhakti, there are three types of bhakti, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. He gives the definitions of those, the symptoms of devotees who are in these various stages of bhakti, the interrelationships between sadhana, bhava and prema and so on. Then he, so this was the eastern section. The Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu has four sections, the eastern, southern, western, northern. So we are now in the southern section. In the southern section, the last chapter of the southern section. In this section, first came the discussion of, I believe it was Anubhav, or maybe it was Vibhav, then Anubhav, then Sattvika Bhav, Vyabhichari Bhav, and now we are on the Sthayi Bhav. So these five concepts have been discussed by Rupa Goswami in great depth in this southern section. He gives examples for the definitions for these, examples for each of them, and then interrelationships. Now, we have been presenting these using PowerPoint lectures formats. So if you're interested in getting those files, I think we have about 13 or 14 PowerPoint files now. I'm happy to send them to you. Just contact me. Okay, so the last time we concluded the Vyabhichari Bhava section. It seems that the sound is not being transmitted. We got some technical difficulties here. Okay. So, yeah, I was saying that we have who needs help?
The sound is not going out, someone checked. To the world.
To the world. Since you put it that way now. Maybe we should have somebody else speak on that. So, these different bhavas were discussed. The vibhava was, I'm going to wait till the sound problem is sorted out, so let's just go into the background. The vibhava is the first transformation, you could say, of the labhini and some of the potency of Krishna that descends into the material world. Takes over the devotee and devotee's mind and senses and functions to give perception of Krishna. So this is the function of the samvit part of this rati or bhava, energy of Krishna, potency. And in the perception part, Krishna becomes perceived in the unique form that the devotee, unique form corresponding to the relationship that the devotee has with Krishna. Whether it's Dasya, Madhura, Sakya, Vatsala, or Shanta. So Krishna becomes perceivable by that devotee in the form that's suited for him. And upon perception, Rupa Goswami continues to analyze the different aspects of Krishna's form and how that gives rise to emotions in the devotee who's perceiving him. So there's the concept of a Vishaya, which is this object, that's Krishna, and Ashraya, that is the shelter, that's the devotee. And there is Alamban, and then there is also Uddipan. Undipan is these specific aspects of Krishna's form or other things of Krishna's qualities that give rise to emotions. So that was Vibhav. When the devotee perceives Krishna, then these emotions interact with the material body and give rise to external symptoms in the body. And these are Anubhavas, Sattvika Bhavas and Vyabhichari Bhavas. That's what we discussed. Sattvika Bhavas are not under the control of the devotee, so there might be tears flowing down the eyes. He can't think and cry unless you're a real good actor. Or trembling, shivering, hair standing on end, not under the control. Anubhavas are where there is some control, where there is some calculation, conscious intent, conscious effort to do something out of love for Krishna. And then Vyabhichari bhavas were discussed in great depth in the last three lectures. Let me see if they can hear now, and then we can start the lecture. It's good, still okay. Okay.
So everybody, we grasp the beginning called Sthayi Bhava. Everybody, we got it? We are all on the same page. Sthayi Bhava is a fixed emotion, dominant, permanent attachment towards Krishna. Every soul has where? In the heart. I'm going to repeat again. We all, each of us, has a permanent, dominant, emotional, eternal sentiment, attachment to Krishna we have in our heart. That is called Sthayi Bhava. Without this, we cannot serve Krishna in a pure form. So we have that inside us. Why do we need to discuss or need help of the Prabhu explain, we need Ladini and Sambit potency. Why we need to explore in that field? Why do we have to take shelter of Prabhupada? Why do we need to take shelter of sadhu, sages? For what? We already have a love. You understand the question? Because this will rise. You'll see so many verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you'll get love of Godhead. Prabhupada quote this verse, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Saddha Kabunai Sravanadi Suddha Chitte Karaye Udai. Just by hearing and chanting, you'll get love of Godhead. So what is the speciality of pure devotee like Prabhupada? What is the speciality? We already have love for Krishna. What is the speciality? He has. Okay. But you have pure love too in your heart. It's covered. So little more?
We need to clean our heart in order to serve Krishna as he wants.
Good. Good. So you have a pure love in your heart, but for you to experience that you are the shelter of that pure love for Krishna to enjoy, you have to get some help from outside to bring it out. You have love for Krishna, and each of the devotee or each of the soul has a particular love that no other soul can duplicate or semblance or Prabhupada even says in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, it cannot be changed, it cannot be transformed, it cannot be modified, it cannot be nothing. It's like who you are, that's what you will come out in ultimate issue. Who you are eternally, that's what you will become. So the whole Krishna consciousness process. So I give you one example from Jiva Goswami Pad just to reveal that. You got it? Oh, good. Just to understand this, that he says, patra patram vaishishtam. Patra means recipient. You have a love for Krishna, he has a love for Krishna, I have a love for Krishna, you have. We all have a love for Krishna, but there is a speciality. So the speciality will be revealed when Suddha Satya connection comes. So then how to understand this? So in my gemology degree, we were understanding the chemical composition of different minerals. So then, at one class, one professor was explaining how the minerals in a underground, dark, without light, all look similar color. Have anybody ever saw ruby, sapphire, emerald? They're all black in the dark room. Yes, they're all dark black. What makes the emerald green? Light makes emerald green. Everybody agrees what she said? So he said mineral is green, so no need light. Huh? You have to polish it. So which has the green? How the greenness of esmeralda coming out? How we see green? So light causing the green? What? Something more. Huh? About Krishna. Of course, everything is Krishna. That's true. What he's saying is true. Everything. But the chemical composition of the emerald is called beryl family. So beryl has a nitrogen when mixes, it causes green. But my point is how the greenness coming out from the emerald. It is constitutionally in green. But it will never be revealed green until light comes. So you're right. Both has to be understood. Means greenness is already in the emerald, yes? But in a dark room, ruby also look like black, emerald also look like black, and the sapphire blue looks like black. What causing the sapphire blue, emerald green, ruby red? Its constitutional structure has a chemical composition in such a way that it causing its constitutional inherent color. It cannot be changed. Can ruby be white? No, then it is not ruby. Can ruby be blue? No, it will never be. Then it will be sapphire. It is not blue. Ruby is eternally red. But without light, we cannot see the redness of ruby. Make sense? So without the mercy of Prabhupada, pure devotee association, this Ladini potency and Sambhit potency, until it comes from their heart, it will never revive our eternal love. Everybody understood that point? Until relationship with Lord called Sambhit potency or cognizant potency and nourishment, happiness, bliss called Ladini potency. These two potency only comes from the heart of pure devotee like Prabhupada. Not by your endeavor. You cannot endeavor so hard to manifest His grace. Not possible. Never proven anybody's extreme endeavor will cause His grace to manifest or alternate. Not possible. Only by the mercy. So we all our endeavor to actually please Prabhupada, then from His heart, these two potency will come. Can we all repeat that? Halladini potency means pleasure potency. Prabhupada translates pleasure potency and or bliss. And Sambhit is knowledge right now. It's very interesting. Jiva Goswami Pad says, why we are trying to understand this? Because this knowledge, more you understand about relationship with Krishna, then through Krishna material world, who is Maya? What is my relationship with Maya? What is my relationship with Krishna? What is Krishna's relationship with Maya? All these relationships, when we understand in complete, that relationship actually transforms into mood, Sambhit. It is not like something will come. So that's why it is important to read Prabhupada books. It is important to hear Bhagavatam class. Because more we understand this, knowledge actually culminates into Sambhit potency. Then the feeling for the Lord will arise. Feeling for the Lord will arise when our relationship is re-established.
Re-understand?
Yes, yes. Then when our feeling starts, then possessiveness will come. He's my Lord. Then ecstasy feeling will start coming. So point, I'm going back, that we have eternal love within our heart. It will be identify me as a shelter of that love and Krishna as the enjoyer of that love. When? When we get the ladini or pleasure potency and sambit potency or cognizant potency comes from the heart of pure devotee. How do we get the potency from their heart?
When we please him.
When we please him. Very good, very good. When we please him. So what should we do? We should follow what Prabhupada wants us to do, then naturally guarantee you will get. This process is, in that way, it is simple. That's why we, under guidance, always follow. So more we understand this, even though it's a little hard, but Prabhu is trying his best to make us all understand. And more we understand this, we'll grasp it. More we grasp it, slowly, slowly, our relationship will be revived. And you'll start feeling this ecstasy. This is not in the book or only for the eternal associate. It is for us. It is for us, Prabhupada says. That's why we are trying.
So, we're going to start with the Sthayi Bhava section. Before we do that, I want to read this nice, beautiful verse, which is the concluding part of the previous Vyabhichari Bhava section. The translation is, the devotee is like the ocean. As Vishnu resides in the milk ocean, so the Lord resides in the heart of the devotee. As the ocean is deep or unfathomable, the heart of the devotee is inscrutable, not revealing its qualities. As the ocean is unvaried, so the devotee is continuous in his service. As the ocean is difficult to cross, but has a permanent shore, so the devotee's qualities are difficult to enumerate, but he appears to limit those qualities. But when the devotee develops full prema, love, he cannot prevent the transformations arising from that prema, just as the ocean cannot prevent the rising of the tide when the moon rises from the ocean. So this is the idea in the Vyabhichari Bhava. It's such beautiful poetry. Basically saying that the Vyabhichari Bhavas are like the rising of the tide, rising of the waves. They're temporary, but they're there and they indicate the depth of love of the devotee, the inscrutable nature of the devotee, how his continuous service and so on. So this is the concluding part of the previous chapter. Now we're going to discuss the Sthayi Bhavas. This is the fifth wave in the southern section of the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. Each of the sections have chapters, and the chapters are called waves, because this is an ocean, so there are waves in the ocean. So each of the chapters is an ocean, and then there are these different sections. So this is the southern section of the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, the fifth wave concerning Sthayi Bhava. Rupa Goswami will begin by defining what Sthayi Bhava is. So let's look at the definition. That bhava which, controlling other favorable bhavas, such as hasya, smiling, and contradictory bhavas, such as krodha, anger, presides in the manner of an efficient ruler, is called the Sthayi Bhava. So the Sthayi Bhava, simple understanding is, it's the, like Prabhu was saying, the permanent, essential permanent relationship, maybe as parent, maybe as servant, maybe as a friend. So that bhava controls all the other bhavas. All the other bhavas are under the rulership, as is said here, So the Sanskrit is aviruddhan viruddhanscha bhavanyo vashatam nayan surajeva virajeta sasthai bhava uchyate. Surajeva virajeta, ruler, he rules like suraja, like an efficient ruler. So this is the sthai bhava, it rules over all the other bhavas. In other words, whatever the emotions are that manifest in a devotee, they have to be under the guidance or under the in the context of the devotee's permanent relationship with Krishna. That's the basic meaning. In other words, the mother cannot have a emotion that corresponds to dasya, you know, like a servitor relationship. Sometimes it can happen, but not rarely. However, if there is a dasya, that means if there is a servant, he definitely cannot have an emotion of a parent. So there is a hierarchy going up to Madhura, that includes all the other emotions in the lower level. I don't want to call them lower, but in the other levels. But the lower and the other levels, there's the dasya cannot have relationships from or emotions that are consistent with Madhura. So this is the idea. This sthai bhava is all important in determining what emotions are going to arise in a specific relationship. It rules over all these bhavas. So in this context, now again Rupa Goswami gives a definition again. So first he gave an indication of what the sthai bhava is, the qualities. Now the definition is, in this context, the rati directed towards Krishna is called the sthai bhava. The rati, just to remind you, is the mixture of lavini and some potency. It's the spiritual internal potency of Krishna. That's a rati. When it descends into the devotee and is directed towards Krishna, then the relationship that ensues is called the sthai bhava. The emotion that is permanent, that stays in the heart of the devotee eternally, is the sthai bhava. Those knowledgeable of rasa say, that this is Rupa Goswami basically quoting Bharat Muni. Those knowledgeable of rasa say that there are two types of sthai bhava. There is the mukhya, primary, and gauna, secondary. So there are seven secondaries. We looked at this. There are a total of 41 emotions or bhava. Now Rupa Goswami, interestingly, in the previous chapter, I forgot to mention this, says that he does not agree with this classification. He does not think that that there is a secondary sthai bhava. He's only saying that there is such a thing because of out of deference to Bharat Muni. But basically these seven secondary bhavas, Rupa Goswami would rather classify them as vyabhichari bhavas. In his view, they are vyabhichari bhavas, not secondary sthai bhavas. But because Bharat Muni has done that in his treatise, Rupa Goswami, out of respect, continues to classify them like this. So the mukhya is the primary sthai bhava. Vatsala dasya is fixed, and the gauna, secondary, are temporary, they come and go. Yes, question. Is the microphone, please.
Swami's interpretation that there's, who said that there's a second of whatever that category is?
Okay,
like, what's the name?
So Rupa Goswami has written this book, but he has written it taking reference of another book that was written by somebody called Bharat Muni. Bharat Muni, yeah. You know, he's famous in the drama, poetic literature in India. And he's done similar analysis, but at a mundane level. And what Rupa Goswami is doing is he's sort of showing how in Krishna Katha, in Krishna's Leelas, everything about Krishna can be understood within this framework. Now, frequently he disagrees, not frequently, but occasionally he disagrees with Bharat Muni. And this is one of those disagreements. So Bharat Muni is classifying krodha, hasya, anger, or laughing, and these seven other emotions as secondary sthai bhavas. That means they take over for a prolonged period of time. For example, when Krishna leaves for Mathura, then the devotees in Vrindavan are in deep depression for a prolonged period of time. But Rupa Goswami is saying that these seven secondary bhavas, Rupa Goswami would rather classify them as vyabhichari bhavas, the ones we discussed before, transitory emotions that nourish the primary bhava. It's just a minor detail. It's not that profound or important. But I just happened to remember it, so I'm mentioning it. But out of deference to Bharat Muni, he continues to do the same thing, continues to follow his Bharat Muni's analysis in this chapter. Is that okay?
If I'm understanding right, it's just interesting to know the history of this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, if that is indeed part of it.
But I would rather see it the other way. I would say that the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is eternal, and Bharat Muni's book is a mundane manifestation of the eternal truths. What Bharat Muni has done is all fine, but the original, as Prabhupada likes to say, is the spiritual world. And its reflection is the material world. So to us it might look like Bharat Muni is preceding Rupa Goswami, and so somehow Rupa Goswami has created this book based on a mundane literature, but it's the other way around. Yeah.
And you convince that to your scholarly associates?
I don't have any scholarly associates. I try not to maintain any.
The transcendental relationship subject matter is very difficult to vividly, elaborately explain to this world where disappointment is a pain. In the spiritual world, disappointment is actually pleasure. Almost impossible to explain any emotion to this level. Even Krishna.
I just want to make sure, I'm apologizing. I didn't mean that as a criticism.
No, no.
I'm trying to think of how I meant it. I'm sorry if I did.
Can you use the first of all, use the microphone, because there are people listening and we are under strict orders to make sure everybody uses the microphone. But can you repeat what you said? And maybe I can, if you don't mind, you don't have to.
I just want to apologize. I didn't want to be offending you by saying that about the scholarly associates.
Yeah, that's all right. You didn't offend anyone. Sorry. Anything else? Anything else? That's it. Okay.
Yes, I have a question. How we practically see and know what kind of emotion Baba, a devotee, have in a practical way, you know, how we can see what kind of relation we have with God.
You mean here, in this world,
yes,
while we are practicing?
Yes.
You can, what kind of bhava devotee has?
Emotion, bhava, mood.
According to Rupa Goswami Pad, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching to Sanatana Goswami Pad also in Chaitanya Chaitanya, that first emotional feeling we develop for our guru. When devotee has a feeling for Prabhupada, is more important than their feeling for Krishna in the beginning. Because feeling for Prabhupada and really develops some love for Prabhupada will cause them feel separation from him. If there is no attachment to Prabhupada, separation feeling will not come. Separation is a result or effect of attaching that I love Prabhupada. When you read it's reality that such a vivid, totally explanation is so clear, you feel like to bow down. And we do. Sometimes we bow down and just glorify Prabhupada. This way you develop attachment. More we understand his teachings and more we chant and do sadhana. And more we become attached to him through his quality, through his teachings, then we will definitely feel separation from him. Even though it's very difficult to grasp. How is this? This is the nature of love in spiritual realm. That more we feel attachment, it will cause us separation feeling. And more we feel separation, then it will detach us from the unwanted or material sense enjoyment. It's like a cause and effect. And that slowly will grow. When it matures, then it will automatically, Prabhupada himself, our attachment towards him will transform to Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna. But if we overstep, just develop only care for Krishna, not for our spiritual master and Prabhupada, there is a problem. And later on, maybe disturb in a such a way that it will not give the pure love of Godhead, we may divert. We may become hard-hearted, impersonalist, or sentimentalist. We don't want to be either one. We want to be transcendentalist. So it is necessary we develop quality and characteristics of Srila Prabhupada's contribution by serving his instruction. And more we become attached, we individually we can check in our own, like how much we actually have attachment towards him. And more we feel attachment, and we'll see within us that we will feel affection, we'll feel some kind of real emotion that we miss him. It's like you don't have to say, but you'll feel it. And the more we feel that, then automatically detachment from this world will come. Should not be practiced. But if some, that's why we are not interested to developing detachment from this world. We are interested to attachment, utilizing. As the Buddha say, we are not romanticizing the world or demonizing the world. We are utilizing the world. That's what devotee for. We are utilizing the world.
Why this sentiment sometimes can be feeling up and sometimes can be feeling down? Why is unbalanced?
In relation to Guru Krishna or in relation to this world?
In relation with Guru and Krishna.
With relation to Guru and Krishna, if the feeling is aligned in a sense that it is recommended in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita, then it is devotional. When you go down, even if you feel depression for Prabhupada, you are so traumatized. I wish I could please him. I wish, and you feel like depressed. It is not depressed, it's a very high elevation. It will actually liberate you instantly. So there is no such thing called lower, but it appears like, oh, one is so traumatized. Like Prabhupada even exhibited, he misses his Guru Maharaj so much. Even though he's always with his Guru Maharaj, he says, but he feels, it is the natural. When you have so much love for your spiritual master, you feel separation in that. It's very dynamic. Yeah, attachment causing the separation.
And we can feel that never is enough, and anything that we do is not enough for us to serve him. It's normal to feel like that, that we never please him as he wants to, and we want to do it more and feel down because of that.
More and more. It will go on forever.
We think that we are not serving.
What do you mean?
Like it's very insignificant service, you know, that I can feel sometimes that I don't do enough.
Oh, that's natural, that's natural. More we become advanced, more we'll feel like we are insignificant. That is natural. That is not a lowly, it's humility is not a lowly. Like, I am nothing, I am nobody, I am so useless. Okay, what is the intention behind this feeling? This should come. What is my intention? Am I going away Krishna consciousness, or I'm coming closer by feeling this way? If it is bringing me closer to Prabhupada and Krishna, then it is healthy and it will increase. But if I'm feeling, oh, I'm useless, I can't chant, forget it. Then I'm going away. That guilt is dangerous. That guilt should not come between devotion, Krishna and me. Guilt should come between wrongdoing and me. So guilt becomes like a wall, you know, blocks me. Okay, this is bad. I better go turn around towards Krishna. But if something that actually comes in between me and Krishna or devotional service and I turn back, then it is dangerous. Mind will do this all the time. I was just reading this morning, 6:5, you know, Bhagavad Gita. Uddhare Atma Atmanam. Prabhupada says, by the help, Srila Prabhupada translates, by the help of the mind, deliver yourself. So then, you know, I was just researching a little bit more and more about mind. So many verses that we need to take shelter of the mind in a sense for a purpose. But not take shelter of the mind, because if you take shelter of the mind without the purpose of devotional process, then mind will take you to a completely demonizing world. Like really frustrated. Mind is expert in it. Mind will invite you for something and then push you down and say, ha ha ha. You know, it's like a joke. Whole life is like a joke. Mind is doing this the whole world.
I always ask myself why if he is here, Prabhupada talk the absolute truth, and he say very clear to us instruction how to do it, how to serve sadhu sangha, the goal of life, you know. Why it is sometimes hard to follow?
You know, despite what I understand from Harishwari Prabhu's diary, one nice thing Prabhupada emphasized in his preaching that despite all these obstacles can be in our life, which divert us from bhakti or devotional path, free choice is eternally there with individually us. We have a constant choice whether I want to get up, chant, believe in Krishna, just like a faith. Srila Prabhupada says boldly, he says, without faith you cannot progress in spiritual path, period. Faith is the only thing really ultimately. After we finish discussion today, what is going with you? What are you maintaining to believe? What you are holding? So faith is so important in our life. Without faith there is no progression in spiritual path. But if you go very details, bhakti to anna upaya bharjanam means we give up all other process except bhakti. We hold on to it. Who has to hold it? Me. How? By my own free choice. That I want to believe what Prabhupada says, I want to chant, I want to serve. This has to come from me. That is faith. If I can maintain that belief, if I can be enthusiastic to do the service, then faith is there. Faith will act. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the life of faith is enthusiasm. Yes. Enthusiasm. Do you feel happy to chant? Mm-hmm. That means you have faith. Yes, Madam.
Sometimes even you might not feel happy to chant. You know what I mean? You may just...
Yeah.
But still you chant.
Yes.
Out of duty, and then you become happy.
Yes.
There's a happiness in just following the instruction of the guru, even if you're not feeling, obviously, in the ecstasy.
Mm.
And once Srila Prabhupada, somebody asked Prabhupada, why is Maya so strong? Prabhupada said, Maya is not so strong, your purpose is so weak. You know, so.
It's in the purport of Bhagavad. Mm. In King Parikshit case, Prabhupada said the same. Very nice. Maya is strong to the weak devotees and Maya is weak to the strong devotees. So which one you want to be? I mean, we have individual conscious choice. This is what the speciality of individual soul. Maya is strong, but we still have a choice. I still have a choice whether I want to serve or not. So I understand that concept that I am very... insignificant, 1/10,000 tip of hair, and all this explanation. You know, I am very, really so small, so tiny that Maya can take over me. All this conception is right. But if I desperately want to be Krishna consciousness and I pray, if I really pray hard to be Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada reciprocates, devotee reciprocates, Krishna reciprocates. But the decision for me to become Krishna conscious has to come from me. In Mauritius, Prabhupada made a very strong point on this. He didn't go to temple. He sat under a big tree and he gave a class. And he asked that question, that if Guru has come, Guru comes from spiritual world to take back the soul back home, back to Godhead. And then he become a disciple, and then Guru wants that disciple to come back home. So that's Guru's desire. What is the desire of the disciple should be? Huh? Yes. If disciple also thinks, yes, I want to go where Prabhupada wants me to go and serve in spiritual world. That desire has to come. Prabhupada cannot, he can help, but he cannot be your desire. Exactly. Can you give her?
My speculation, I'm not sure about this. These secondary bhavas, in the conditioned state, they have some effect, you know, overriding some other. But then, when mature, they don't have, it's not relevant.
No, so it is not that the secondary bhavas come because the devotee is immature. These are all happening at the stage of bhava and prema bhakti. So the secondary bhavas will come in Radharani also. Krodha, hasya, anger, laughter. So it has nothing to do with maturity. These are all mature devotees. Rather, these are spiritual transformations that give rise to a variety. You know, emotions, relationships have variety. It is not a one. I am your mother, and I'm only going to, like an automaton, do one thing. No. Sometimes I'll get angry at you. And that is also love, pure love. So there is variety in the spiritual world. And because there is variety in the spiritual world, all these emotions are present here. But they are perverted. And so we really have no idea what it means to be angry and in ecstasy simultaneously. So it's not about... Did I understand your question correctly? It's not about maturity. This is all at the mature stage. Is that okay?
They're all the same condition.
They are the same in the sense that all transformations are the same potency of Krishna, internal potency of bliss and perception. But they look different because they're different flavors. And that gives variety. That's why rasa, when these all mix together, I've explained this before, you know, salt, sugar, water mixed together, lemon, gives variety. It gives a wholesome experience of taste. So these all mixed together to give an experience. Now, I wanted to respond to your question at the beginning. You said, how do you see or recognize these bhavas in devotees? There are two levels to this question. The first is, we, meaning I at least, cannot recognize if somebody has a sattvika or vyabhichari bhava in real life. Because of the fact that to recognize true spiritual ecstasy, I have to be on that platform too. Does that make sense? I cannot perceive for a fact, cannot decide for a fact if somebody is experiencing a sattvika bhava or not, because I myself am not on that bhava platform, I'm still a sadhaka. So in that sense it is theoretical. Only advanced devotees, pure devotees can see these emotions manifesting in other people, or even grasp or understand. Now, having said that, in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna outlines the symptoms of a devotee on the bhava platform. These are verses 13 through 12.20. So there are some indications we can get. So what are these qualities? Advaishta sarva bhutana, maitraha karuna vacha, nirmama nirahankara, samadukha samashukha kshani. Very long list, satisfied, equal to all, friend to all, I and mine, these concepts are not present in such a devotee. Always satisfied, determined, sarva arambha paritayagi yomad bhaktah samapriya. So Krishna lists all these qualities of a devotee and then he says, such a person is very dear to me. Such a person is very... So there are those qualities. You can go and look at that. And we can certainly see that in authorized pure devotees like Prabhupada. We can see that these qualities are present in him. But to say, well, you know, is Prabhu on the Bhava platform or this on the Bhava platform or that, that is not the purpose of analyzing Bhakti Sangha Siddhi. We can, unless we come up to that stage, and at that stage we won't need analysis, we know. So,
Srila Prabhupada brings us a Krishna's conscience here to the West Coast. And the conscience, I think that we can test it. Sometimes we can text when we practice in conscience. What is conscience? What is to be conscious of Krishna in the real world? No?
So in the sadhana stage, there are two things that happen. This is the also explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There is a diminishing of suffering and there is auspiciousness, where the devotee becomes favorably inclined towards the world and the world becomes favorably inclined towards the devotee. So, these things are there, but these manifest at the sadhana bhakti stage. But then when... Yes.
In the beginning, those are also mood, not bhav stage, mood.
Mood.
Yeah, those mood also, yes. Like you can feel humble to Prabhupada. Those are actually auspicious. Humility, as you said, with two results. That see if you feel that material suffering is not affecting you more when you are chanting more and more. The suffering is there, but you are not affected. You know, there is a fine line, like suffering is there, but you're not dwelling in it. You're not affected by it. Like some people, like karmis mostly, they go like this tremendous suffer by the same thing. But devotees' cases, that is not affected. If you feel like that, Kleshagni, in that sense, it began with that. Vaishagni doesn't mean you will not get old. You know what I mean? Suffering disappear doesn't mean you will not get old, you may not get toothache, or you won't get fat, or, you know, whatever the world we think that the suffering coming from, or you may not have no police officer will give you ticket or something like that. You know, suffering means like, I won't get ticket anymore. Not like that. These things, whatever will happen in this world, the material nature will create. Sometime Krishna will, you know, 10, 14, 8, it's very clearly Prabhupada writes. That Prabhupada didn't translate, but Prabhupada did in Chaitanya Chaitanya, so they brought that translation there. That Krishna will personally create some scenery even in your life, where you may face some calamities, then you may think like, I'm chanting so long, and why this is happening, why I'm going through like this. But when you are advancing, Kleshagni means you seeing that actually Krishna is created such a way to purify my heart. You will not be affected. You will not be affected in a sense that you will not be talking about it, or your mind will not be disturbed about it. You will keep on going with your devotional practice. Whether you have a car or no car, you will still chant. You will not give up. You follow? Yeah. That's actually auspiciousness. Humility means that you do not give up your devotional service. You are fixed. You will not be affected by the modes. It's there, the calamity will come. Prabhupada had a toothache. In Australia, Prabhupada had a toothache. And the dentist told Harishwari Prabhu as a servant that 3 days he should not talk. And just after a few hours, Prabhupada says, so who is coming? Every day afternoon, like 4:30, some dignitary would come. And Harishwari Prabhu says, well, we cancel because the dentist says you have to rest, you cannot speak. Prabhupada was very disturbed that he could not serve. He wants to serve. So what happened to his toothache? I mean, literally, according to the dentist, he must rest 3 days. So the pain is there or not? According to dentist, yes, but he's not affected by it. It makes sense? This is practically, like, he's not affected by it. So like this, it's not like nothing will happen, you know, once you are serious devotee, then means you, the police will not stop you if you go through red light. This is not the understanding. That if I go through red light, I'll still get ticket or even, you know, whatever the suffering come, but we will not be affected to stop our devotional service. We will continue devotional service. Because there is a, in the beginning of this Krishna consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says also in Chaitanya Charitamrita one verse, Bhajya Visha Jalamay Antare Anandamay Krishna Premer Ek Adbhuta Charit. Very astonishing character of this love of Godhead. In the beginning, when you start practicing, you will feel sometime outside like a burning, blazing fire or some poisonous. But inside you feel so happy that you cannot give up Krishna consciousness, neither everything outside is solving. So what do you do? Because you are feeling so happy, you keep on going. You keep on going. So when somebody is advanced, means he is not giving up Krishna consciousness. That is called advancement. In the beginning, this is the criteria. Well, he has a car accident, he has this problem, she has this problem. That's not to be looked up. What is internal and action, physical action and internal thought, what is that devotee is, that is what flesh of me boils down to. It makes sense? Otherwise, we'll be thinking like, if you become advanced, in the beginning, you will not have a gray hair. That's not what. The hair will be still there, but it will not be affected by the
hair. So, stated that Krishna will put the situation to purify you, for you to overcome it, to transcend, I guess, the word would be. So does that mean that... Actually, two questions. So does that mean, the first one is, does that mean that he will put the same situation, the same anartha in front of you until you transcend it, and then the next one, and then the next one until you eventually, you know, get to the point of like Queen Kunti level of suffering, and then you overcome that, and then you get to the spiritual world. It's a, I don't know, can you get me? You get what I'm trying to say?
Queen Kunti's case is not actually suffering.
No, I understand. I understand. Okay. Is it for us to actually go there, do we have to kind of like transcend every single type of misery in this material life?
I tell you, sometimes it's good that we go through some suffering sometimes. Because sometimes in my life, I was trying to take advantage of Krishna consciousness. Because I have some anarthas, but I was trying to take advantage. And when I read that purport of Prabhupada, he said, if devotee take advantage, Krishna will forgive him and let him go and let progress begin from there. But if he keep on taking advantage, Krishna will create a bigger problem for him and he will like, oh my gosh, why? I'm so serious devotee, I'm so sincere, why so much suffering? Well, Krishna wants you to get out of this advantage-taking position. That because I'm chanting, I'll be okay if I do something nonsense. That is not Krishna wants. So until we get out of it, then it's over. No, that anartha will not come anymore. But if you have something that you may not be aware, Krishna will create a scenario where that anartha has to pull out. If you are cooperating with Krishna, with Prabhupada, then will be process will be easy for her. But problem is, I don't like to cooperate sometime, so I go through tough time. And is it, we have 3 minutes, right? 4 minutes. 4 minutes, all right. Any other?
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to that because I think, so today's lecture we covered like one slide. But the next time, you know, I'm kind of regulated, so we just go forward faster. It's not that the way that a devotee is purified is complex, complicated. There aren't hard and fast rules. One anartha, next. Many times you think that you've transcended the anartha, then it comes back. After 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Things that you thought were long gone, you're purified of them, they come back. So it's a dynamic process that we shouldn't overanalyze. Do a hair-splitting analysis of, you know, am I done with this one and that one? Like you were saying, we're not so interested in ourselves. That is also another thing, to some level. We're interested in serving Krishna. So offenses are in the mix. It's a very complicated thing. I'm reminded of this verse in the 4th chapter where Krishna says that karma you cannot understand. It's the same way. Anarthas are manifestations of karma at some level, and we cannot understand. So we cannot trace out where our anarthas begin and where they end. And, you know, if really Krishna is going to give one at a time, it might take I don't know how many lives.
Yes. My question is, my spirit is female in this world right now, and we have the opportunity to have more emotion and feel maybe show different, you know, and it's very beautiful opportunity to show to God, you know. And if we can try to feel the constitutional, eternal constitutional position with God, but we cannot practice as it is right now, because probably we need more veracity, or we need more focus more on the Prabhupada's vision. Or so how we can protect ourselves in this kind of way, because we like to be as we are. We want to act as our spirit one, and sometimes even in between the bodies, sometimes there is danger in this world.
Well, because of the time, but one thing for sure, whatever we experience difficult or obstacle in spiritual path, it's actually in a micro form in the heart. It's manifesting in a macro form. So instead of correcting or trying to understand the outside, the whole chanting bhakti is to go inside and correcting inside. And more we correct inside, rectify, then adjustment to the outside world will take place slowly, slowly, and you will be very surprised. And that is very important. Thank you. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. We are going to chant Gopi Git now. Thank you.
Gopya uchu jayati te dhikam janmana gaja Yeah. Varadame nato neha kim vadha. Vishajalapyaya Vyalarakshasa Varsha Maruta Vaidyutanala Vishamayatmaja Vishwato Bhaya Vishabhate Vayam Rakshita Mohu Nakhalu Gopika Nandana Bhava Akhila Dehina Antaratma De Vikhana Sarthita Vishaguptaye Sakau Devan Satatam Kule Virachita Bhayam Vishnidhuyate Charanam Yusha Samsmite Bhaya Sarasaroham Santakamadam Shirasidhena Shikaragaham Raja Janati Han Vira Yoshita Nija Janastaya Dvamsana Smita Bhaja Sakhe Bhava Kinkarismano Avakatamritam
tapta jivanam. Kalmashapaham Savana Mangalam Shimaratatam
Vanaruhaa Bhagavatam. Dhanaraja Salam Darshayan Moho Manasena Smaram Virarachasi Vanata Kamadam Padmajachitam Dharami Mandanam Heyamapadi Charanapankajam Shantamam Chate Namananastane Sharpayadhihan Vardhanam Shokanashanam Sarita Venuna Sushtucham Litam Itararagave Smaranam Dhitara viranas te dharamitam Atatiya bhava Annikananam Tvatiyugayate Tvamapashyata Oh, Kutila Kuntalam Shri Mukham Chate Jadau Dikshata Pakshma Kedhisha Rahasi Samvidam Hichayodayam Isutanvaya Pratribandhava Ativilangate Yachitagata Gati Vedastavo Gita Mohita Gati Vedastavo Gita Mohita Gita Vayoshita Pyajanishi Rahasi Samvidam Hichayodayam Sita nanam prema vikshanam sajana hidruja yannishudanam. Yatte sujata charanam buruham staneshu bhita sanay priyadade parchakasheshu enata vimata sitam vyatate na kimshu kurpadibhi brahmatibhi bhagarayushanna Tavakatamritam Sapta Jivanam Tavidhirudhitam Palma Shapaham Shavana Mangalam Shimaratatam Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,